Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's 5 weeks now since Russia invaded Ukraine, and each day on our news feeds we see countless news reports on the fighting and civilian casualties and humanitarian missions. But what is it like to be over there sending us back these stories? Oliver Marsden is a photojournalist, originally from the UK, but has been reporting in the Lebanon and Pakistan and Afghanistan in recent years, and is in the Ukraine since the conflict started. Oliver is on the line now. Oliver, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for taking the call. So where are you at the moment, Oliver?
I'm currently in Mykolaiv, which is a small city in the southeast of Ukraine. It's kind of the last defense. Well, they thought it would be the last defense before the Russians tried to take Odessa. It's sort of sandwiched between Odessa and Kherson, and Kherson is currently completely occupied by Russia, and there's been some pretty horrible reports coming out of there. So I came to Mykolaiv to see for myself, you know, the destruction that has happened here, the shelling of, as you mentioned, civilians and civilian infrastructure. And recently, the Ukrainians managed to push the Russians back towards Kherson. And it's sort of been relatively liberated recently. So I've come down to report on that.
Okay. Can you just describe, what is it like in Ukraine?
Well, right now, it's interesting. There are multiple fronts in Ukraine, and that's sort of been the issue. In the West, it is, in Lviv, for example, it is relatively peaceful. You know, I say relatively, it's still been the victim of long-range strikes by the Russians. The air raid sirens still go off. And in the center, it's the same. And I visited a town called Zhytomyr in the center, where a school was struck, a maternity ward of a hospital was destroyed. Mm. Even though that these areas are relatively calm and safe, they are still victims of long-range attacks. I then went to Odessa in the south, and it felt strange, you know, that Odessa has managed to sort of not be hit too badly. There's been some attacks from the sea. But, you know, people have been going about their business. You know, life carries on. Coffee shops are opening up, restaurants. I was in the sort of main square the other day where there's a book market and people are out drinking coffee. So you have that sort of side of Ukraine. And then further, in the southeast, in Kherson, Donetsk, Luhansk, it's completely occupied by Russians. Mariupol has been what's been described as a medieval siege. And up near Kiev, where I was, it was the same in the suburbs around Irpin, where the Russians have kind of bedded in and taken over. It's a very different story. So the country is, as a whole, at war, and it's horrible all over the country. But there are
pockets.
It's sort of separated. Yes, pockets. Exactly. I would say, you know, the worst of it is in the north, the east, and the southeast for now.
Okay. And for you and others like you, is it easy to travel around?
It's been okay. I mean, we've found amazing Ukrainian drivers, people who are willing to help out. Some of them are volunteers, others are kind of local journalists who are working as fixers and producers. And so you can drive around. You need to be very aware of where the Russians are and obviously avoid that. The trains are still working, and there are, you know, thousands of people getting on the train in Kyiv, for example, in Odessa, and heading west, heading to safer territory. So I've been traveling either by car or more recently by train. And I sort of feel, in my personal opinion, sometimes the train is safer because they're not being targeted. Whereas you could be going down the wrong road in a car and get into some serious trouble. You know, you've probably seen journalists have been attacked. The Sky News team was shot at. And, you know, journalists have been injured and killed, unfortunately, here by being sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, we've seen the reports of attacks on some news crews and, unfortunately, the death of some journalists over there. It's a war zone. But how dangerous is it for you and other journalists? You say you just need to be very aware of where you're going and have your research done and be aware where the Russians are. Does it just come down to that?
I mean, unfortunately, I mean, a good friend of mine, Pierre Zarkeski, he was a Fox News cameraman. He was Irish, Polish, and he was killed at his funeral in Dublin, I think, a couple of days ago. And the problem is that it's, a lot of it is airstrikes. It's either shelling or missile strikes, and you can't predict against that. You can wear your helmet and your flak jacket, but that's not going to stop a Grad missile. So it's just about knowing where the regions are, knowing where the hotspots are, doing as much security and risk analysis as you can, real-time kind of analysis and decision-making, and trying to avoid those areas. But as you say, this is a war zone, and our job is to get these stories out. And Russia is really peddling a very strong propaganda media war at the moment. And so, it's a good question. I don't really know. All you can do is do your job and do as much security and analysis as you can. But you have to go and you have to be in these places. So it's very hard to predict and hard to count.
Oliver, when you say that to your family and friends, what's their reaction to that?
It's actually just me and my sister. Unfortunately, my parents passed away when I was younger. And
sorry to hear.
Thank you very much. My sister gets doubly, I guess. Angry and worried, I believe in what I do and I love what I do, and I don't really know what else to do. And so she knows that I want to be here. My friends, they know that I want to be here and not the work I'm doing, and they're worried and they're nervous and they understand. But I check in a lot. I text them. They send me videos and photos to keep my kind of morale up. And we just stay in constant contact.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even I'll just send like a dot in a text message just to let them know that I'm alive and moving.
I mentioned that you've been in Lebanon and Pakistan and Afghanistan. For you, how does Ukraine compare to those places?
First off, Ukraine is an active war zone right now. I mean, when I was in Afghanistan, it was last September, August, September, when the coalition forces had left and the Taliban had taken over. At that point, it was, quote unquote, relatively peaceful. The Taliban were in charge and they were like, we want peace, but we want it on our terms. And so I was able to travel around. I was able to go south, 2 hours south of Kabul, where no foreign journalists had been and where they probably would have been killed in the past. And we were shown around and we were escorted around by the Taliban. Here, it's very different. This is an active war zone. The Russians are shelling and striking, they're shooting. We've heard horrible stories of, unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say, rape and killing of civilians. And so this is a very different scenario right now. This is happening in real time. It's happening as we speak. I mean, I just interviewed a 62-year-old man who had some pretty distressing stories about his village, which is under occupation. So that it kind of... Everything's very fluid here in Kinetic, and that's the difference right now. It's an active war zone.
Can you tell me about Madam Olga, who you met?
Yes, of course. So I met Madam Olga with a friend of mine, a guy called George Butler, who's a kind of conflict illustrator. And we went to visit her in her apartment. She lives on the top floor of an apartment in Kyiv. She's 99 years old, one of eight siblings who have... unfortunately passed away. And she's living up there in this apartment on her own. She's got two dogs and a cat. Her daughter has moved in with her to look after her. And some volunteers that, they bring food to her, but she can't move. When the air raid sirens go off, she just hunkers down in her bed and hopes for the best. And so I was we were interviewing her and I was taking portraits, and George was doing his illustrations, portraits of her. And it's a horrible situation. I mean, she understands what's going on. She herself, she lived through the Second World War. She was taken to Dresden as a prisoner of war. And so she, for her, this is a kind of, almost a reenactment. It brings up past trauma. But as old as she is, she's aware of what's going on. And she told us she just hopes to make it to 100 years old, which we're all hoping for. And she's an incredibly brave woman.
Oliver, do you see an end in sight?
That's a million-dollar question. I thought that this was going to go on for quite a long time and it was going to be bloody. I mean, there have been negotiations that reports that the Russians have decided to pull back from Kyiv and take their forces away from the northeast to concentrate on the south and the southeast where I am now. So I don't know whether it's true or not. The Ukrainians don't really trust the Russians. But if that does happen, I feel like maybe it's the end of the kind of war as we know it in all of Ukraine. But what is just starting is this new battle and this new war for the regions that the Russians have already taken and those that they want to hold on to. And the Ukrainians will then fight to liberate some of these towns. So this part may have ended for now. And I use the word ended very, very loosely. But I think a new front is beginning in the south. And so to see an end, I don't. It, not yet. This is going to go on for a while, I think.
Well, Oliver, I just want to thank you for coming on and speaking with us this morning. Please stay safe and hopefully we'll chat to you very, very soon, okay?
Yeah, please. That'd be great.
Thank you, Oliver. Too. Bye, bye, bye. There we go. That was photojournalist Oliver Marsden reporting from Ukraine at the moment. And you can see his work in UK newspapers like The Guardian, The Sunday Times. And you can follow him on Twitter at Oliver G. Marsden. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.